Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Carrie.
And my name is Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about how you can get swallowed whole.
Got mad skills, now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. We're so glad that you've joined us again. And we have an exciting topic to talk about this week. We've talked a lot about missions in the past, and we wanted to start a series that will take us over a number of weeks. So Jen, why don't you tell our viewers what we're going to be doing?
Well, one of the books of the Bible that has challenged me for the longest time has been the book of Jonah.
Okay.
Every time I read the book of Jonah, I'm like, because I feel so much like the prophet. I feel like so many times in my life, God calls me to do something, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that, or I'm angry. Maybe that God is asking me to go talk to someone, or like sometimes I just bold face, no way, man, and I turn around and I go in the opposite direction. And so often when I get to the book of Jonah, I'm just like, okay, Lord, show me in my life where I'm like Jonah. Where even though you have called me by name to speak your word, where am I running from you? And specifically, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at the book of Jonah. So specifically, each week we'll go through a chapter. And so this week, what's interesting is my chapter one is actually called A Prophet Runs from God, which sounds so strange when you think of it, because a prophet is called by God to tell a group of people what is on God's heart for them. And so the mere fact...
Like a message.
The message. The mere fact that this man, Jonah, who is a prophet of God, runs from God. It seems strange. So why don't we read the passage and then... So even now we're going to ask the Lord to reveal to us what he wants us to talk about as we read the passage. And you can do the same when you're at home as you're reading along with us through Jonah 1. I am reading from the New Century Version. And so, Lord, reveal your truth to us as we read your word.
Amen.
The Lord spoke his word to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because I see the evil things they do. But Jonah got up to run away from the Lord by going to Tarshish. Oh, that's a difficult word to say. He went to the city of Joppa, where he found a ship that was going to the city of Tarshish. Jonah paid for the trip and went aboard, planning to go to Tarshish to run away from the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, which made the sea so stormy that the ship was in danger of breaking apart. The sailors were afraid, and each man cried to his own God. They began throwing the cargo from the ship into the sea to make the ship lighter. But Jonah had gone down far inside the ship to lie down, and he fell fast asleep. The captain of the ship came and said, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and go pray to your God. Maybe your God will pay attention to us and we won't die." Then the men said to each other, "Let's throw lots to see who causes this trouble to happen to us." When they threw lots, the lot showed that the trouble had happened because of Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us, who caused our trouble? What's your job? Where do you come from? What is your country? Who are your people?" Then Jonah said to them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." The men were very afraid, and they asked Jonah, "What terrible thing did you do?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had told them. Since the wind and the waves and the sea were becoming much stronger, they said to him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" Jonah said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and then it will calm down. I know it is my fault that this great storm has come on you." Instead, the men tried to row the ship back to land, but they could not because the sea was becoming more stormy. So the men cried out to the Lord, "Lord, please don't let us die because of this man's life. Please don't think we are guilty of killing an innocent person. Lord, you have caused all this to happen. You wanted it this way." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea became calm. Then they began to fear the Lord very much. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made promises to him. The Lord caused a big fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights.
There you have it.
There you have it.
So Jonah received the word from God saying that he should go to Nineveh, but he had issue with that. And it doesn't necessarily say why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. It just says that he arose and fled and left. What gets me about that is that he being a prophet, he knew he was a prophet, so he should have known the character of God. And he says, even when the sailors said, you know, "Who are you? Where'd you come from?" He's like, "And I fear the Lord God."
Yes.
If he feared the Lord God and knew that he could see everything and everything was in his control, I just don't understand how he could reconcile in his own mind that fleeing was a good idea,
yeah,
or that he would get away. So I find that kind of interesting right off the get-go.
Yeah. Well, see, I think part of the problem with Jonah is he didn't like his assignment.
Okay.
He didn't want to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, and Assyria was a country that continually came up against Israel.
And they were violent.
Very violent. Like,
very violent.
Yeah, we'll just say very violent. We'll let you Google it, because that way this show can remain G-rated. And so what happened is when Jonah got the assignment of go to Nineveh, he was like, "These guys are mean. Like, these guys are extremely violent. They've risen up against us before. They are our enemies. Lord, why are you calling me to go to my enemy?" Which has so many implications when you actually, if we, you know, we could talk a whole show on what happens when God calls you to go and speak to someone you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jonah's like, and we get into this in the later chapters, but Jonah, and as we've said, he knows who God is.
But maybe this seemed out of character for him, for his perception of God. Maybe he saw God as a God who is just and brings judgment on people who are wicked, which he does. But he wasn't seeing him as the merciful God that he is.
Or God wasn't acting the way Jonah wanted God to act.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, that's messy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Jonah just, yeah, that is a great question. What makes us think that we can run from God?
Mm-hmm.
What? And I think sometimes we dabble in sin. Like, maybe a young couple who's dating think, they don't talk ahead of time of how far is too far. Or,
physically.
But we love each other.
Yeah.
We love each other. So God will bless us in our sin because we love each other. We're planning to get married. So it doesn't really matter that we are not married yet. We can go ahead and have sex before we get married. But that's okay, right? So they think they can actually hide their sin, or their sin is acceptable and they won't receive punishment because of that. And so when you say, you know, what makes us, or what made Jonah think he could flee from God, I think we try it all the time. We try to hide things from God, or we try to, "Oh, I'll do that later. This isn't really that bad."
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm. And maybe it's because, you know, we don't physically see the presence of God with us, right? So that accountability is not there. but we have the Holy Spirit now who's supposed to bear witness that we are children of God and that we're supposed to act in a way that pleases Him. But there's not that physical presence there. And that's why it's so easy once you start to let little things into your life, like those little foxes we talked about a couple episodes ago, that they just come in and start, you know, pulling you away.
Yes, that little slippery slope thing. And so we have to be so careful that we don't let the foxes in. We don't take the little nibble of the bait and think that, oh, this is okay.
Something interesting, you know, when thinking about Jonah and why he didn't want to go to Nineveh, because they were enemies of the Israelites. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he felt like this is righteous anger.
Okay.
Like when you see an injustice like the Holocaust, it makes you angry, mm-hmm. as it should. You know, when Jesus saw the people buying and selling in the temple, it made him angry because it was not right.
Yes.
And I think we're supposed to get upset at things that are wrong, like violence against people. You know, like things like the Holocaust. But he was probably thinking, no, this can't be right. But he knew it was a message from God at the same time.
Yes.
So I kind of can sympathize with him there, why he would wrestle with that.
Yeah.
Like just showing mercy, get them off the hook.
Yes, yes. Corrie Ten Boom tells a story about the hide. Okay, so the book is The Hiding Place, and you can buy it at Amazon.com.
.ca.
Anyways, it's the story of a young Christian family in Holland who hid Jews mm-hmm. away from the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up being going to a concentration camp, and her sister ended up dying. I know this is major spoiler alert. It's still well worth the read.
Totally.
anyways, years later, Corrie is at a church speaking.
She's out of the concentration camp.
Out of the concentration camp. At a church speaking about how God had just, what she had learned from this whole experience, and God was actually using her, right, for teach people about reconciliation and forgiveness and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And this man stands up and comes forward, and she recognizes him.
Oh, yeah.
As one of the German guards at the concentration camp that she and her sister were at.
Yeah.
And he reaches out his hand and he said, Fraulein, do you remember me? I think is what he said. And she knew in her heart that God was asking her
to forgive him. But it was hard for her to do because here was a man in front of her who she had seen just so much atrocity come from him and others like him. But she knew that, she said it, her arms were like lead. Like she almost could not extend her hand in forgiveness. Because it's like, how could she?
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I think the juxtaposition of the spiritual realm and the physical realm come head to head.
Yeah.
When things like that happen, where God is asking us to do something that's so outside of ourselves, so counterintuitive, like forgive someone who's just killed your family.
Yeah.
And yet she prayed and asked God to give her the strength. And when she said that she put her hand in his to extend forgiveness, she said it was like a flood of peace and love that came over her.
Yeah.
So she did. She could have turned and ran.
She could have
said no.
Yes.
But she would have missed out on that blessing from God.
And so I think this is what Jonah is struggling with.
Mm.
Like, these are our enemies.
Mm.
And you want me to tell them about you? Like, And so he runs and he gets on the ship and a storm happens. So the Lord is not letting him off the hook.
Yeah.
it's very interesting because I think in his hoping that he got on the boat, that he literally would, God would release him. Mm. I honestly think he felt that God would release him from the call.
Mm.
And it's interesting because as we read in the chapter, God did not let him off the hook.
Yeah.
In fact, he pursued him. And I love the means by which God pursued him. Like a storm. And we often think, well, why would God use a storm? He's putting other people's lives in danger. right? Because there's these sailors on the ship, and they're like, there's people's, other people's lives at stake.
So that's an interesting thing to think about too, Jen, is when we make a decision, when we make a wrong decision, we're not the only ones affected. I remember my dad saying to me, and like I didn't become a Christian until I was in my teens, but after that, and then my family came to Christ.
Right.
He would say, Carrie, you don't sin in a vacuum. Like when you sin, you're not the only one affected.
Yeah.
And here these sailors thought their life was in danger.
Yeah.
Their lives were spared. But interesting too, that first he ran from the call.
Yes.
And then he runs from the storm. Because he says,
yes.
But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down and was fast asleep. He was able to just tune it out and go to sleep.
Yes.
And I wonder if, how do you deal with conflict or when you know sin is in your life that you need to deal with? Do you find that you're quick to deal with it? Do you find that you're the first one to go to the person who has hurt you? I know people say, well, it depends on what it is. Granted, but I wonder how you deal with that. Hey, Jen, we were talking about that this morning, and I said, this is funny because when I was a kid, and my mom told me this, if I got upset or was offended or was in trouble, I would go to my room and go right to sleep. It was like,
interesting.
It was like escapism for me.
Right.
You know, it wasn't that I didn't care about it. It was that I did care, but I didn't want to deal with it. So sleeping was a way of not thinking about it. You know, some people turn to drugs or whatever.
Right.
But I went to bed.
Right. And we laugh because sometimes I'll just say, ugh, I need a drink, right? I need a drink of water. But so often people will say, you know, I need a glass of alcohol or wine and everything will just be perfectly fine. And I've had a friend that when troubles would come up in her home, she would actually pack a bag and leave.
Yeah.
She'd get in the car and drive away. And it was like,
It's still going to be here when you get back.
The problem will always be there when you get back. And I think when, obviously, you know, Jonah went and he tried to sleep it off. Well, or he just figured, I'm going to die in my sleep. Because he was running from God. So whether I get away to a far off country or I die, I will be released from what I feel like he's saying, I would rather die than do what God is calling me to do. There's no way I want him to have mercy on those Ninevites.
Well, he says that later on, and we'll get to that in chapter 4.
Yeah.
He'd rather be dead.
So here he is. He's choosing to abdicate everything. And by going down and having a sleep. And, and I'm learning that when the Spirit actually wants you to do something, there will be a stirring. And it feels like you can't do anything else. Like it's in your mind. It's in this knower part of your body. It's just like you cannot get it out of your head. So either you have to go to that person and deal with it or, you know, turn to God and repent and say, I'm sorry. But when the Spirit is really at work, well, you do have a choice. You can drown out the Spirit, which is what Jonah tried to do. And we do it so often by making ourselves busy, by using some sort of narcotic of some form. I'll take a sleeping pill. You know, because sometimes the Lord gets us when we sleep. Right? I'll just take a sleeping pill and I'll be fine. I'll get up tomorrow. We busy up our schedule. If I can just be busy enough, I won't have time to do what God asks me to do. And we do that. We get busy so we don't have to actually listen to God and do what he's called us to do.
I won't have to call that family member and talk about this. I won't have to call my boss and tell them, you know, I made this mistake. And
yeah,
I mean, well, I can share a story after, but anyways,
okay.
So it's easy to avoid things.
It is so easy. And we've even done this between us. I'm like, okay, if I just don't say anything. And then Carrie has always said to me, Jennifer, your face tells me that something is wrong.
Do you wear your heart on your sleeve too? I don't know.
And it's like, shoot.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Or, and you try and cover it up. People try and cover it up. So I will share a story.
Okay. Okay.
So I had just started my nursing career, or not too far in anyways. I made a medication error and felt terrible about it. And as soon as I did it, first thing that came to my mind, and I was shocked, I was like, how am I going to cover this up? How, what do I need to do? And I'm embarrassed to say that, but that's what first thought came to my head. And I did deal with it appropriately after, but immediately I thought, and I didn't want to tell my manager, and I didn't want to tell the patient, and I was so embarrassed. I didn't want to tell my colleagues, and it was fine. It was a minor error. Thank you, God. Mm-hmm. I told the patient, I documented it, I filled out the paperwork, and I had to call my manager and tell them what happened. And of course it goes through your mind, like, what if this was something other drug and I could have killed that person? Oh my goodness. But I immediately thought, like, how can I run from this? Mm-hmm. You know what? I'll go into a different profession. I'm going to have to leave. Yeah, I felt so bad. And it happens. But that was my first thought. How can I get out of this? Mm. And I thought, no, God. Like, I don't want to run.
That is so often my first our response, thought. Isn't it? How can I get out of this?
Yeah.
Rather than taking responsibility.
Oh, totally.
And so there he is in the bottom of the ship.
Mm.
And everything's getting worse and worse and worse. And so the captain comes down and shakes him. He's like, what are you doing?
Cry out to God, you fool.
Yes. And I love the fact that he's like, get up and pray to your God. Maybe your God will pay attention to us and we won't die. Which is like, ha ha. It was Jonah's God that was allowing this to happen or causing this to happen, depending on how you perceive how God works. And so there he is, and Jonah comes up, and they're like, okay, let's throw lots to see who it is.
So explain what lots are, Jen, in case people don't know.
Lots.
It's like throwing the dice,
yes,
essentially.
Or like pulling the short straw.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if there was 20 of them on board, so all of them would be the same length, these straws, but one of them would be short.
Yeah.
And basically, like, you pull one, right? And, like, Jonah got the short straw.
Yeah, and they were using that lots, almost as, like, an opportunity for God to show them without having their hand involved.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Kind of?
Yeah.
So, anyway, he got the short straw.
He got the short straw. And then they said to him, tell us who caused our trouble. What's your job? And he goes ahead and says, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. And the men were afraid. What did you do?
But it says in verse 10, they already knew that he was fleeing from God.
Yeah.
They knew. He told them, hey, guys, I'm running away. Can I come along? Very interesting. But then once he says, it's me, you're going to have to throw me in the sea. Even then, he doesn't take ownership and repent.
No.
Or throw himself in.
No.
He puts the onus on them to throw him in.
Yes. Yes, actually, that is interesting. He
doesn't jump. He doesn't walk the plank.
No. He's not taking any responsibility. He does, like, he's totally abdicating everything. I'm not going to listen to God, and I'm certainly not going to take responsibility for the fact that I'm not listening to God.
And he wasn't even going to take his own life.
Yeah.
He was going to have someone else throw him in.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think Jonah is simply trying to avoid, at all costs, what God is calling him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at all costs. And often I've heard people who feel called into the ministry or to go on a mission trip, and they know God is asking, because it just keeps coming to mind. They read scripture and it pops off the page. They have conversations with people and they literally know that God is calling them into the ministry.
Because the topic keeps coming up. And some people say, oh, how do you know if God is speaking to you, calling to you? Maybe that's something we can do an episode on at another time. But that's a good way of describing part of it, Jen.
It just keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, like, hush it. Like, they know God is calling, and they hush it, and they just keep going, just like Jonah. Like, God is calling. God is calling. God is calling. God is calling. And I think Jonah's like, I know you're calling.
And I don't care.
Yeah, and I don't care. And so when he finally said, like, what should we do to make the sea calm down for us? He's like, pick me up, throw me in. And the men try to find another way. And then finally they said, we don't want to be held responsible. Because Jonah was putting all of this on them to mm-hmm. make the decision. Mm-hmm. And they had done absolutely nothing wrong. And yet now they were responsible for cleaning up Jonah's mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, messy.
Yeah.
And then after they throw him in, God in his mercy sends the fish to swallow him.
Yeah.
And then the sea calms. And that, it's a witness to those men at that time. It says that they turned to God and offered sacrifices to yeah. him. And then they feared God. So interesting how that kind of turned around in their favor. Essentially, it was a mercy of God that he allowed them to see his grace and his power.
Yes.
And also that Jonah was swallowed in his mercy.
And you know what I'm thinking about? Because we're talking about how God is merciful to those that we don't like or are our enemies or whatnot. I'm wondering about the men on the boat. Because even through Jonah's disobedience, men came to know the Lord.
Yeah.
They repented, they fell, and they worshipped God. Because it was like,
whoa,
he really is God. I guess that challenges me to think, okay, even in my sin and disobedience, God can still use me
yeah.
to reach people. Not that we're encouraging you to be disobedient or run away. But in the process of making things right, because they said they prayed and said, please don't, like, it's almost at that point they realized that Jonah's God was God Almighty, greater than their gods, because their gods weren't doing anything.
Mm-mm.
So they prayed, would you release us from the penalty of throwing him in? And they came to know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess part of my prayer would be, God, in spite of who I am, would people come to know me? Would people come to know you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's challenging. Like, and it reminds me that we don't have to be perfect. That even when we sin, God can, you know, because it says he works all things together.
Yeah. And in Romans it says, well, should we sin more so that grace should increase? By no means.
No,
Jesus came to wipe away our sin, and so we live through his power in us now.
So a good way to get swallowed up is by running away from God. Yeah. And literally, we're going to get into this next week, is when we allow ourselves to be swallowed by our sin, or swallowed up, when we run from God.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't face our, when we don't face what God is calling us, when we don't face conflict head on, when we run from the voice of God, then we end up being swallowed whole, and it can literally feel like
you're trapped, and there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah,
and you know, maybe you're experiencing some conflict now, or something that you need to address, and you've been running from it, but don't let this moment pass. In Acts, it says that turn to God and repent, that times of refreshing might come from the Lord. And God says you can turn to him, cast your cares on him, invite him into the situation, and watch him do amazing things. We've both seen it in our lives, and he can transform relationships. He can pick you up out of the pit that you're in. He can help you in school. He can help you in your job. He can mm-hmm. he can help you have a new perspective on what you're dealing with.
And to start today, because his mercies are new every single day. So don't run from even facing God today.
Yeah.
Like, turn to him right now, wherever you are. Turn to him, whether you don't know him or you do know him, but you know you need to make something right with the Lord. Like,
today's the day.
Today is the day. And
well, why don't we pray on that note then, Jen?
I agree. All right.
You go ahead.
Lord, I am so glad that your mercies are new every single day. Even now, would you forgive me for those times where I've heard your voice and turned away, or where I have sinned and turned away from your voice telling me to come back. And Lord, I ask in your name that you would meet all of our viewers that are watching right now, wherever they are, and through the gentleness of your Holy Spirit, that you would just let them know how much you love them. And you desire to be with them in relationship, and that there is nothing that can separate them from you. There is no sin that is too big, that is so insurmountable, that they cannot turn to you. So, Lord, would you draw near to our viewers today? Encourage them today. Help them to turn to you. And Lord, help them to listen to your voice and respond. I ask this in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, we want to thank you for watching, and thank you to Category 5 for hosting the show, and to Robbie Ferguson, our director and producer. And thank you also to Eco Alkalines. They are the batteries that power our camera and the other equipment that we use here. And we also want to thank our new partner.
Our new partner, which is Family Christian Stores. They're an online bookstore, so you can get Christian music and books through this website. And all of the proceeds,
100%.
100% of the proceeds go to supporting, now one of the lines I said was widows and orphans. So they go to support ministries that support widows and orphans. So I'm like,
very cool.
So go online, check them out.
Through our website, which is neweveryday.tv. You can also follow us on Stitcher. So make sure you check out our Facebook page and our website, neweveryday.tv. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Same place.
Maybe the same time. Check me out.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.